Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we ask for your help today, as always, because we don't understand your word unless you teach us. And we are dependent upon your spirit to open up our thinking. We just want to go home with something special from your word that we can think about. Lord, it's so exciting to see you working behind the scenes and weaving it all together. And that's what you're doing in our lives, too. And we so often miss most of it because we're busy concentrating on other things. So often other things that aren't very important. So be our teacher and our guide, Lord, and we'll just give you all the praise in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
If you'd like to open up to Esther 4, you can check me to see how bad I am. Make sure I'm following everything. But when I was studying for this over the holiday, I was surprised to find that the historians feel there was 15 million Jews in Persia. I had no idea there were so many people. It was an unbelievable number, and they were scattered all over the place. Now, because of Haman's anger and the king's stupidity, they were all appointed to die. Can you imagine killing off 15 million people? It's just unbelievable. So could they flee? Could they go someplace? How about going to Jerusalem? Well, the thing is, King Ahasuerus owned Jerusalem. Remember, he took it over. He owned everything. So they couldn't, where would they go? At Haman and the king ignored the death sentence that was coming up, and they were going to go to a royal feast. No big deal, everybody dying. We'll just go eat. I've thought of that a lot of times. We do that too. Things get tough, and so there's always chocolate. Well, they didn't know what to do, and Mordecai was, he was able to act a little bit. He wasn't afraid or ashamed to tell people now that he was a Jew. He even told the officers that. Remember, all that's required for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. Don't ever lose sight of that. I remember hearing that so often when so many things were going on, and it just seemed like the church was sound asleep. When there's death involved, and especially so many people, Proverbs 24:11 tells us, deliver those who are drawn towards death and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. You know, we simply don't see that, do we? We don't even like to think about it. When death's involved, we've got to look at it and do something about it. We can't be neutral. So then how about the queen going to Ahasuerus the king and just letting him know what's going on? Of course, that's how I would have done it. I would have rushed into his presence and said, that wicked Haman, he's going to kill us all. But I don't think a lot. I need to sit down and be quiet before the Lord. And, oh, this queen is amazing when you start looking at it. But she had heard that Mordecai was sitting in the gate in mourning clothes. Oh, that can't be. You can't go anywhere near the king in mourning clothes because that would mean somebody's unhappy in his realm. Can you believe that? But then the contrast between that and our great high priest, our great king in heaven, welcomes us every time we want to come. There's nothing that's holding us back. I think the interesting thing is that when I was a new believer, I used to wear this verse out in Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. When I hear Jesus saying those words, how I wore that verse out. I would pray it every time I'd go near the Lord. So that would have been my action here. I would have gone right to the king and tell him a thing or two. And but that wasn't in Esther's thinking. And I have a lot to learn from Esther. I'm so grateful we can take our burdens to the Lord at any time. He invites us. Morning clothes would get him in trouble. He would be killed immediately. Can you believe that? You know, that just seems so weird. But that's the way it was done. So here he was, all dressed up in morning clothes, sitting in the gate. And so the queen says, oh, I'll send him some clothes. We'll cover him up, you know, because I don't want anything to happen to him. But the whole point of it is that Mordecai was trying to get the queen's attention. That's what he wanted, and he did a good job of it. And then the message went to Hatak, a eunuch that was appointed to Queen Esther. I thought about that. Would you like a man with you all the time? Of course, he couldn't function, but still, it just seemed kind of strange. I would have liked another woman. But the women didn't know much in those days. They didn't know what was going on. Esther certainly didn't know what was going on. It was before cell phones and email and all the rest of it. You know, we're so highly bombarded with messages these days. It's hard to sort them all out. But he sent the clothes back, and that did get her attention. And then this Hatak, she tells him, I haven't been to see the king in 30 days. 30 days? That seemed kind of like a long time, didn't it? You thought about that much? I'm not going to mess with it. So, wanted to. But there was no bargaining with the king's presence. You just didn't go into it anytime you wanted to, even though you were the queen. She would go into the outer court, and if he bid her to come to him, he would extend the scepter, and then she would touch it and be invited in. If he was bored with her, or perhaps the last time they were to gather, something happened, and it would mean her life. They would just take it. And I thought, then they'd go through that whole thing again looking for a queen. Wouldn't have that been terrible? So, be killed. That's what she thought about. But Mordecai, if you're not placed here in this palace for such a time as this, then I can't figure why you're here. But if you would take that all into consideration, how dangerous a spot that would have been. You know, if you didn't please the king, you're done. So here's these two guys. It's interesting, one of the other leaders felt that Hatak was probably a Jew. And when I thought that through, it seemed like that was the right thing for him. Because if he was pro-king and Mordecai sends this edict to get to Esther, he could have just tossed it out, yeah, not said anything. But he took it right away. to Esther. And I thought that kind of indicated maybe he was a Jew. So there they were, the two men that were holding all the Jewish people in their hands, so to speak, was Hatak and Mordecai. And it was upon their decisions, things would begin to happen or not happen. Well, Esther tried to go to the rescue and save Mordecai, but Mordecai, the king did not go into that area to see him. So that, I thought that was a real God thing too. He sent him back because that wasn't simply a moment of sorrow. It's not why he was dressed all in mourning. It was a disaster of sorrow, a national disaster. We don't realize it too. If you can back away from your scriptures and realize that all the way down through the centuries, Satan has been out to do in the Jewish people, whether it's Hitler or whether it's Naaman, whether it's this person or that, his idea is to get rid of them. And you say, well, why is that? Why would the enemy want to get rid of them? Because then it makes God out to be a liar. As he said, they were his people and that he had a plan for them. And he didn't want them around. So read verses 8 and 9, kind of tie this together. So Hatak returned and told Esther the works of Mordecai. Then Esther spoke to Hatak and gave him a command for Mordecai. All the king's servants and people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law, put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter. I wonder how many of you thought about that, you know. Is it going to come? Is it going to come? If you were the queen, would you just be hoping beyond belief that this person would, the king would hold that out to you? I don't think Mordecai had to be reminded. So I started thinking about this. I saw it as Esther had four options. The first one would be no. I'm not going before that crabby old man. I am not going there. And the Jews are going to have to figure some way out of this. That'd been one way. The second way would be, well, if I perish, I perish. Being a queen would not save her. That's hard to believe, too. And then another reason would be she might be passed over. Not only the rescue plan of God, but the whole thing would be passed over because he would not hold out that scepter to her. And then the last thing is that she might be the right person at the right time to do something hard for God. Ever been in a spot like that, doing something hard for God? But she first called for a 3-day fast. Don't just read over that because that is so important. It tells us a lot about the queen and the fact that she would want to be on her face before God, pleading for her people and not, let's just skip breakfast and do this, but it's a 3-day thing and that she would have her women do that too. It's something to think about because I would rush in where people fear to tread. I would just rush into the king and try to get this thing all squared away. But Esther wasn't like that. And that's something you need to remember is that God's never in a hurry. You might think, oh, I've got to have an answer today. But know this, that God is never in a hurry. But I still marvel over the fact that the Lord invites us in at any time, and we're accepted. Doesn't matter what's going on. And there needs to be in our churches intercessors, people that are praying for others, for the missionaries, for the Word of God to get out, for a choice of a pastor such as here. Just all kinds of things where people need to be gathered together to pray. And Esther gives us that example. And so I wrote down, why didn't Esther immediately go to the king like I would? First of all, it wasn't the right time. And second of all, a weeping, pleading woman before the throne would annoy the king. I thought, how many times have I annoyed my husband? No, I don't do that. He probably feels the other way around. He liked to weep before me. Anyway, it would just make things worse. And Esther wanted Haman. He didn't want the king. She wanted to get a hold of him. And I think she figured he'd do something stupid. And pretty much that's what he was out to do. And we will see that in next week's lesson. But there was something missing here. And you're going to pick that up in next week's lesson, too, is that Mordecai had saved the king. And that hadn't been mentioned. And nor had it been rewarded. A lot of time had gone by. So here I am trying to rush into the king's presence and then thinking, but that hasn't been brought to his attention. He's got to have that brought to his attention. And I love the way God does it. You can't sleep. You can't sleep. So you'll find out next week. God took care of that problem. Haman had a lot of false confidence over this. What an honor to be invited to attend a special banquet with the king and queen. Can you imagine? And then the king is asking Esther, what is your petition? Up to half of my kingdom. I kind of like that petition. And I think it was a common saying, though, I'm afraid, rather than something in cement. But here he is. When you begin to tear this apart, you'll see that the sovereign God was protecting everybody. No one told Haman that Esther was a Jew. None of her ladies-in-waiting told anything about her being a Jew. Somebody could have slipped and said something, and if that had happened, Haman could have taken Esther aside and protected her some way, and that would have protected himself. But you know, God was looking at this Haman character like he would really like to have him out of the way. And I think that is, you know, you take your fist or your weapon against the Jews, that is a huge mistake. God protects them. They're his people. Haman would figure a way to protect the queen, and you and I would see that as, oh, that's too bad. We wanted to see Haman get out of the picture. Wouldn't that be nice? Many theologians feel that the center of sin, and I agree with this, is pride. And the thing is that that's what Haman was full of. So you might have come up with some other ideas. That's great. But really what was at the heart of Haman was pride. He was so full of self-importance. Guard against that. It's so easy to fall into it. You know, we're with another couple a lot, and all they do is talk about their kids. My husband and I don't do that. It would be kind of boring anyway with six kids. We could be there all day, so. But they belong to the Lord, not to me, not to my husband. That's enough. But theologians are just under that conviction that pride is the very essence of sin. And if you just take the word sin, what's in the middle? Yeah, there you are. Perhaps that's why pride is the number one on the Lord's list. When you think about it, you'd think there'd be more serious things like murder or something else, but it's not true. It's pride is number one for the Lord, because it's pride that turned Lucifer into Satan, and he says, I will be like the Most High. And that's found in Isaiah 14:14. I know most of you weren't with me when we did Isaiah, but that was an interesting study. Well, when Haman left the queen's palace, he was walking on air. Can't you just see him walking out? I've been invited to another banquet. You can just see him. And as soon as he sees Mordecai, then he says, It just turns him off. It gets so upset because he's the great prime minister of this huge country of Persia. And I love it that Persia is still in the news today. It's never goes away. It's amazing. But Mordecai didn't bow down to him. He didn't even stand when he came by. If you went to see the president and went into the Oval Office or wherever he meets people, and he were to come through the door, everybody would stand until he sat down. That would be true in a judge's chambers. As soon as the judge would sit down, then everybody else could take their seat. And it's protocol as well as good manners. And here's this Mordecai, he won't sit down. He won't stand up. He won't kneel down. He just stays put. And it just irritates him no end. And I like that. I really like that. Anyway, none of us will ever get to see the president or even be in his presence, I'm sure, or a judge, I hope. And of course, Haman knew that the king would never investigate anything. So he went home and he told his family, and he soured them all. And then he said, they came back and said, well, why don't you build a gallows? That is not like our Western gallows, where you hang somebody around the neck until they're gone. A gallows would be a pointed, tapered, pole, and they would put them on that. So the wife, of course, is encouraging him, why don't you get one of those built? And you can put it right here in our yard, our equipment. And that sounded really good to Haman. So it was supposed to be something like 75 feet tall so that you could see it from everywhere. And the interesting thing is trees or whatever don't come that big for this particular deal. So it had to have been placed on top of Haman's home or the upper room somehow so that it would be seen out over the whole city. I think that was the one thing that kept him going, is that could hardly wait till Mordecai would be impaled on that. How they did it, I don't know, but it just sounds awful. Now we can understand the delay here for Esther offering her second petition to the king, because dear old king had to stay up and not be able to sleep. Yeah, 75 feet, so they could see it from all over the city. And when you get into the next lesson, you're going to see that that's an important figure. Just think about it, 75 feet. Haman, of course, wanted everybody to see it, but God had a different idea on that. I just love it when God has the last word. I just do. It's so neat. Anyway, so Mordecai being impaled on this would scare the rest of the Jews into submission. That's what Haman thought. that all the people can see this, then they're just going to submit to us when we kill them all. That's an interesting turn of events happens here. The thing is just, he's so close to that thing he has it made. He's so close to it that Hill does not know that within hours he's going to be on it himself. So, well, we can look back through this chapter and see prayer is so critical, and fasting. You know, if I got a phone call during the vacation from an old friend who has a son that's a homosexual, and now she's got a grandson that has gone into that lifestyle, and she's just heartbroken about it. And I said, well, here's something you can do. You can fast and pray for these boys once a week, at least. And what you mean, it doesn't always mean food. It can mean other things. The things like I waste my time on. I've really been considering this. And then the thing that Liz needs to do is no rushing into making a decision. The Queen was so careful about that. I'm much more, let's get this thing going, let's get it done. I probably, all what I would have done would have found myself killed in it. So that's something I have to work on. And then, didn't you find that Queen Esther had a soft spirit, very thoughtful? She just, again, didn't rush into things, but how would you come up with two dinners, a plan like that, unless God was really instructing her? So after all said and done, and you really see all the danger in this, what a brave queen she was. She was very brave. She put herself on the line, and I thought about that. I thought about how many of us could be brave today, or perhaps not even do the right thing, simply because we would be afraid. Lots to think about. But those decisions hit us fast. I remember Bonhoeffer, when he was arrested, and he's going down the street, and the Baptist preacher just shuts his curtains because he wasn't about to not follow Hitler. We don't know. Things come upon us very quick. If you're taking time with the Lord and you're in fasting and prayer, God will guide you. Never have to worry about that. Father, we thank you for your precious word that tells us so much about life and living, even though this was written so long ago. And we are not in a king-queen situation here, but Lord, these decisions come up fast and they trouble us. Lord, as we get into this next lesson, may we see your hand unfolding your truth into it, that the right decisions will be made. Hard questions will come. But Lord, we thank you that your Spirit will guide us. And if we ask you, that you indeed will teach us. And we're grateful for that, Lord, because we're pretty poor teachers, but you are the great teacher. And we look to you for answers. Bless each lady, Lord, and especially those that are undergoing real serious problems today, Lord, we ask that you might undertake for them, and especially Pauline and others, Lord. They need your presence, they need your strength and encouragement, and we'll simply give you the praise for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen.